I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. It's a pleasure to speak to my colleague of many years, many decades, Dr. Henry Miller of the Pacific Research Institute, a senior fellow. His website to watch Henry's reporting is henrymillermd.org. We're discussing an article in JAMA's Network by two physicians about where we are in the COVID-19 pandemic. And where we are is to begin to live the rest of our lives in a different way than we lived before. Perhaps we were unwise not to take seriously the flu epidemics of 1958, 1968, 69, where I remember being very ill, even reaching back to the lessons of 1919. But here we are in the 21st century with the wisdom and the mechanism to manage this virus in a new fashion. And we'll begin with the five recommendations made by the physicians. Global vaccination efforts. Henry, it's a miracle what Big Pharma achieved in a very short period of time, given the original estimates were a year and a half, 2 years, maybe up to 10 years. These breakthroughs with the vaccines and with the ability to treat people who are ill at the hospital, these were predictable. Will they continue? Is there reason to believe that Big Pharma can make even a bigger breakthrough than it's made so far, Henry?
Well, as you intimated, John, the existing vaccines are really quite excellent. And the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, a one-and-done single dose with not very stringent storage and distribution requirements, will be a major player around the world. The AstraZeneca vaccine should be as well. Although in Europe in particular, there are some concerns about an increase in severe clotting incidents, and it's on pause in at least some European countries. But the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is also a single dose and very cheap and should be soon available in large numbers, should be a lifesaver in much of the world. The global vaccination efforts, as the authors put it, will include careful monitoring of new variants and the effectiveness of the existing vaccines against those variants. And now that we have experience with producing these messenger RNA based vaccines in particular, we'll be able to produce new variants of the vaccines to combat the new variants if they turn out to be able to break through the existing vaccines. So that's going to be something we, again, as you said, we'll have to manage as part of the pandemic observation process.
You mentioned monitoring the variants as their second recommendation. This one, Henry, this is about politicians and decisions that people need to make. Manage and finance winter hospital surges. So we can presume from now until eternity, it'll be winter time when the hospitals have to prepare and when people with elective surgery need to be aware beforehand because there'll be pressure on the hospital staff.
Exactly. That has real implications, not only for the financial health of the hospitals, but also for patients' ability to get elective procedures done in the face of an overburdened health system. We saw that for much of last year, of course, when people had to defer elective surgery, even serious elective surgery, and also all sorts of things, dental checkups, dermatology checkups, cardiac checkups. So that'll require a good deal of strategizing about distribution and availability of healthcare.
Yes, I'm thinking, Henry, because you know I have experience at Sloan Kettering, the cancer hospital in New York. What I learned is that in the spring, with the first surge of the winter spring, the first surge of the COVID-19 when it hit New York, Sloan Kettering was entirely shut down. The practices stopped, Henry. They were just frozen. And that was out of panic, out of the political mandates from Albany. But that story has to be redone, because you can't shut down cancer hospitals because of the COVID. You've got to manage in some fashion.
Exactly. And you can't shut down ICUs and coronary care units in the face of a pandemic. You need to be able to admit people who have severe strokes and heart attacks and pulmonary decompensation and so on.
Masking. That's a controversy across the country. And social distancing. Also, there's noise about how many people in a restaurant and screaming on the cyclone, on the big roller coasters. Is that all permanent recommendation, Henry? Does that need law to back it up, or will people be commonsensical?
Well, it'll be done as it has been at the state level, which, as you know, has created quite a hodgepodge. We see a relatively laissez-faire, in my opinion, an inappropriate laissez-faire approach in places like Florida and Texas, and a more realistic science-based approach in most other places. There is definitely pandemic fatigue, and the public at large, and especially people who operate hotels and restaurants and bars, don't want more restrictions or newly imposed restrictions. But we'll do what we need to do, and that the public will be cooperative about adhering to public health recommendations.
Do you think a vaccine passport is useful, Henry? Because they're talking, Boris Johnson's talking about it in the UK, but there's noise here that people will reject it.
Well, a colleague and I, John Corson and I, wrote about what we call vaccine documentation, and that's how I prefer to think of it. Passport sounds awfully official or even officious. There's not a good mechanism in any case. So there won't be a real, definitive, single national, document to be shown. The CDC little white card that you get when you are vaccinated should provide adequate documentation for most purposes. And I think it will be useful in certain contexts. For example, the probability that I'm going to get on a cruise ship in the next few months to maybe the rest of the year is about zero. But if there were a vaccinee-only cruise somewhere and there was a good reason for me to take the cruise, I might consider it. And similarly, if in restaurants, I'm not ready to go to a sit-down restaurant yet under most circumstances. But if, say, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, there were vaccine-only sit-downs, that would mitigate my concerns. So, and then there are more serious contexts, such as employers requiring vaccination for their employees or maybe their clients and so on. So there is a role for them.
Dr. Henry Miller, Senior Fellow at the Pacific Research Institute. HenryMillerMD.org is the website. Welcome to the world of COVID-19. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.